nine yards, people.
Hello, welcome back.
Welcome back, indeed.
Whole nine yards it is.
Yeah, we weren't away, though. We didn't go anywhere.
No, we just live here in your podcast repository.
Yeah, we're always here in
always
your
here.
Phone.
Wherever. Just waiting.
Yeah.
Watching.
I don't have many stories. I had that $19 sandwich thing happen to me.
Yeah, that's a hefty sandwich.
It was a tasty sandwich.
Sure.
But, you know, we're still in this mode.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when you're listening. We could be 2 years from now.
It's so timeless.
We have one of our favorite topics is back, don't you think?
I do. I mean, the one that I enjoyed the most anyway.
I mean, it produced one of our favorite shows that we reran over the holidays.
Over the holidays.
Which was the Potty Talk.
Potty Talk Part 2.
Yeah, and there's probably more terms. Oh, there's got to be more terms.
We've just scraped the barrel. Nope.
Yeah, I know you were looking for one.
I was trying, but it didn't hit me. I don't want to give away any, you know.
Sure.
I guess I could have. It would have been a good lead-in. Sorry, everybody. I let you down.
There was something I came across as... I'll get to it. It was a barrel thing, and yes. But,
we didn't discuss who's going to go first.
We didn't.
Who wants to go first?
I'll say it's your choice.
I can go first. That's fine.
All right.
My first word is latrine.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that term?
Latriney, yes.
defined as a toilet or outhouse... especially a communal one in a camp or barracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we learned in the first one that whenever that evolved, I think it was, if my memory serves me right, it was the later part of the 1800s that Thomas Crapper's name was on the latrine facility, bowls there.
Yeah.
And so the servicemen would see Crapper. But I digress.
Yes. I think what I looked up a definition, and it's very elegant from Merriam-Webster. They define a latrine as a receptacle, such as a pit in the earth, for use as a toilet.
Yeah.
It's perfect, elegant, simple.
And that has been around for the many thousand years.
I mean, many thousand years.
Yeah.
We're going BC.
Yeah.
Not even, you know, way back to our first really, you know, instances of a latrine in its sense. It's hygienic, you know, you need a place for that stuff to go to keep away from, food and water supplies and housing and all sorts of stuff. We learned that disease can spread that way, I guess, which is good. But I mean, honestly, back to, you know, the Romans in like 4500 BC, they had... water. They had flushing, you know, you'd pour water through it, but, you know, hand flushing latrines, essentially. big rooms, which were fascinating to see. There's pictures of them. Just like walls lined with little toilet holes. You'd go and sit down with your buddy and be like, hey, man, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, but, and I think that was one, you know, also if you blocked up some water, what did I say in the first one? If you blocked up some water with some rocks
and then went ahead and did your stuff right.
And then moved the rocks, you sort of made a flushing toilet, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like we mentioned in the definition, I have specific visions in my mind of a latrine. One is from, you know, literal my Boy Scout camp, or not my Boy Scout camp, but Boy Scout camp growing up, Camp Twin Echo in Ligonier. I'm sure folks have... been there, local folks anyway.
Sure.
And then also the TV show MASH, because that was like my first army TV show I liked.
I sure do like that theme song.
It's a great show. I didn't see the movie at first. I saw the TV show first, everybody, so sorry about that. But yeah, MASH, because, you know, that's army barracks. They had a latrine. I remember they had to dig one when they first showed up, right? I think that's in one of the first episodes.
Yeah, and I think I don't know what the pecking order is, but the lower guys got to dig the latrines. Huh?
No, for sure. I think they had Klinger out there digging it or something in the show.
Poor Klinger.
I mean, he was an enlisted man. That's your grunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, the origin of the word latrine isn't a terrible mystery. That word arrives around the 1300s from the root latrina, which is direct from...
latrine. What is that?
Latrina. From lavo, which is Latin for I wash. And then that word became lavatrina.
I as in me.
Yeah, I wash. Right. Not a chemical eye wash, but a person
or something
wash.
The Apple company came
one
up with.
One washes.
An Apple bathroom.
Yeah. Nice. But then it morphs into lavatrina, which seems to be I wash at a place kind of vibe word. And then in the 1600s, the French morph the lavatrina into latrina or latrine, essentially.
Hmm.
Yeah. And like I said, these went back, all shapes and sizes, all kinds of, you know, ways. But as long as you've got a hole in the earth where you can do your business, you're kind of most of the way there.
That's it.
Yeah, for use as a toilet. So, I mean, I guess a bucket, a receptacle. Yeah, a bucket. It could be a latrine.
Would you have to put the bucket in a hole in the earth?
It's saying such as, so giving an example of what a receptacle could be. So I don't think. I think anything that's, you know.
That leaves it kind of wide open.
That's a wide swath. I didn't think of that until just now. Technically, a suitcase could be a latrine.
Yeah.
Some fun facts, I guess, is stuff that I came across. It sounds like when archaeologists go grave robbing, they sometimes end up digging in latrines, as one would. You don't know where you're digging in old civilization. But they seem to be glad because I guess they find like bottles and dishes and like old garbage in them as well. That was not garbage, but, you know, relics, I guess, at this point. I don't know, various things that they find in old latrines.
Yeah, people threw stuff down there.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You break up with your girlfriend, like, whatever she gave you, you're mad, you throw it down the latrine. And, like, years later, you're like, oh, I wish I had it back.
You can't. I mean, oh, man.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I mean, years later, they did get it back, but just, you know, several thousand years later, or 100 years later.
Get it back, per se.
Yeah. But, yeah, latrine, it's Latin for wash.
Wow, man, you're brought home already.
We're direct. These are direct.
Dun, 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 dun.
I flourished it up with some of the Roman stuff. I can give you some more Roman. I can describe the Roman the toilets to you if you'd like.
I mean, we should post a picture of them on the thing.
Got it. We'll do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
All right.
What do you have?
Well, I have commode.
Right.
And commode is a little more involved than that. and strangely enough, takes us back to a place I didn't expect. And the topic that we just covered, I think it was your topic in a very, very recent show. So I'm surprised that you don't already know this. And maybe you do, and you're just being quiet and sly about it.
I don't know what I know. I never remember.
All right. Well, we'll find out.
Let's find out together.
So commode, right?
It's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a funny thing about that, too.
Cool.
But I'm going to first... I'm going to go back. Instead of going in the evolution that it occurred chronologically, I'm going to go reverse chronological.
Okay.
Because it evolved.
Sure.
Now, we see this happen, and I can't off the top of my head think of a word or a phrase that we've covered that did it, but we've seen it. And this word does it in a much more, wow, man, drastic sense. So some lexicographers like to call this semantic drift.
Oh, okay.
And that is...
Describe that to me, yeah.
Well, you'll see it in real action within this word.
But okay.
That's like, suppose the glove box in the car, maybe... maybe we used to really have a little box we put gloves in. Mm-hmm. Then it became, we don't really wear gloves much.
Driving gloves,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and all that. Mm-hmm. But here's a compartment to put your maps. And then, I don't know, that's not the best one.
No, but I hear what you're saying.
But then we start calling it the, you know, I don't know, man.
No, the glove compartment. I got you.
But you're going to see it here.
Okay.
1850s.
All right.
All right, is the first time we really use the word commode to refer to the vessel, like our little potty,
sure,
that can be used, taken about, and moved
travel.
Around. No, I mean around the house, you know, it might
like
move around.
Like a chamber pot.
Chamber pot, that's what I was looking for. Chamber pot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Got it.
And because this comes from a French word meaning convenient and suitable, a Latin derivative, commodus.
Commodus.
Proper fit. And I don't know that they say it. Yeah, proper fit. But think more of it as the French convenient and suitable for now.
Okay.
And
it would be.
Yeah. So 1850, we start calling that our little chamber pot or vessel, mm-hmm, commode.
Okay.
It's a convenient little, yeah, tool to use to, sure, do your business,
it's
move
right
it about.
There. Just carry it with you.
I'm going to take you back one step into the later 1700s.
Okay.
And we were then calling the commode the chamber pot housed within this chest of drawers, this little chest of drawers that was convenient. It had a marble top, maybe with a wash basin to clean yourself up afterward, and you'd put the chamber pot into this little piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm. Did it have like a seat, or was it just like a storage?
Just like a storage.
Okay.
Yeah.
With a sink.
Not, let's not say sink.
Okay, with a
it had a marble top, and you'd also have a porcelain or whatever,
gotcha,
wash basin on it.
Yeah.
But it was nice. You had little drawers for your other stuff, you know, whatever you needed, your little wipe cloths or whatever you had going on
what
in
have
there.
Yous.
Maybe hairbrush or whatever, fix yourself up. And and then I don't know what you're doing
sure,
in there.
Sure, no, I mean, yeah, same.
But it was, you know, the pot in this furniture.
Mm-hmm.
But that came because earlier in the 18th century, back in the early part of the 1700s, we called the piece of furniture itself was the commode. And
the shelf type of thing with the wash basin.
Think of a little chest of drawers with a marble top.
Okay.
It might have a little door on it. Depends, you know.
Okay.
And you'd keep that in your chamber. And I guess the chamber pots were around the whole time, but I guess people were putting the chamber pots into the commode to a point where eventually you just started calling the whole damn thing a commode.
Yeah.
And then over 100, 150 years, you just called the chamber pot a commode.
Right.
Right?
Oh, okay.
Which then transferred
yeah.
straight to toilet.
Yeah.
And to this day, we call it a commode.
Huh.
But if you go looking for antique furniture in like frou-frou places, they'll call this little chest of drawers a commode. If you ask to use the commode, they'll look at you funny and want to sell you a little chest of drawers and not point you to the bathroom. So,
you want me to go in this? I guess I can. All right.
Right. So if you're out nice. At frou-frou antique places, careful what you say.
Yeah. That's
but it,
cool.
But it goes back even further. So, so we're looking at the modern day toilet as a commode,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of the chamber pot.
Yeah.
Then the chamber pot as it lived in this furniture. Then the furniture itself. This is going backwards.
Yeah.
And then in the 1600s, what was a commode was that apparatus of scaffolding that made the wig of the big wigs that you discussed in a previous episode.
How did I not see that?
I don't know.
Oh, man. No. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Ha, ha, ha.
Wait. Yeah.
Right? So that thing was the commode. It was accommodating So I don't know. I can only imagine that you set your headdress on this little shelf. You needed a place for all of the hair stuff and your little drawers and your combs and your glues. I don't know what
like,
the hell you
no,
had.
No, they're like wig. They look like wig shelves. Is that what you're saying?
Little wig stands.
Yeah, they're like little wig stands.
And that then became the commode.
I looked at.
But the rig for your head was the commode.
Okay.
But somehow, I guess you left it on this little piece of furniture.
Yeah.
And then so you would just start calling the piece of furniture the commode.
No.
And then it evolved and evolved and evolved. Until two friends.
That's awesome.
I know. But nice.
Wow. So it goes all the way back to the scaffolding of the wigs, essentially. The big wigs. Or keep going back?
No, as far as I got. But there is someone that wants to take it back farther, but I can't verify it anywhere. So I will talk about it a little bit,
okay.
But I can't swear to it. So I'll talking about the furniture itself. Let me just define that as they were meant to stand against a wall. They were wider than they were tall. This is not going to all rhyme, but that was nice.
That was nice. I was going to say, well, it's a little limerick.
I think I do. I do have a limerick for you coming up, though.
Ooh.
And this piece of furniture was convenient. You could store stuff in it, and it had a surface on top for placing additional items, often a marble slab top. Sometimes paired with mirrors, so it starts to sound more like a vanity.
Vanity, yeah.
And I guess, there's an offshoot there, but don't pay attention to people behind the curtain.
We'll get to that one.
I don't know that we will, but vanity, yeah, that might come up, in another word, topic, phrase, idiom.
Yeah, the one we do about Carly Simon.
Yeah. So there. There's a definition which I couldn't. It's like the Canadian girlfriend. It's kind of unsubstantiated,
right?
It is a procurus or a bawd, BAWD. That is a commode. Now, a procurus was frustratingly defined as one who procures. A female who procures, because you're a procuress, a procurer, but anyway, what that comes back to is basically a madam. So, you would have someone who was a commode get you, hook you up with a date, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with this other definition of commode. Or derivation, or how should you say commode is derived from accommodating, really. Accommodating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So the madam was an accommodator,
right.
And that's how that all happened. But talking about the headdress and the limerick that's from Thomas Duffy, Wit and Myrrh, 1719, I washed and patched to make me look provoking, snares that they told me would catch the men, and on my head a huge commode sat cocking, which made me shoe as tall again. Whatever some of that is definable as.
Nice.
But that's your little fun.
Nice.
And that's the story of commode and whereence it came.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Wig stand or wig scaffolding.
Wig scaffolding to the toilet. Man, that came a long way.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Poor word, wasn't expecting that.
No, that had a rich history. I enjoyed the morphing of what it is, but that makes sense. You're like, yeah, this is what we use it as. It's not a glove box anymore.
Right. The glove box wasn't a good one. But there are.
I think it is a good one, though.
There's some better ones.
We don't put gloves in there.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine.
Because you could say that about a lot of things. We'd say, hey, they say dial this number. No one's dialing any numbers.
No. True.
That one guy in Cleveland. So.
Yeah.
here are our ads accommodating you.
Nice.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart. Online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
And that's fantastic, that Big Science, huh?
Yeah, I hear they do great work.
I hear too.
Here.
Could you commode us? No.
I could accommodate us.
Yeah.
Into the next half year.
Yeah, what do you have?
I have Privy.
Oh, wait, Ray.
What's that?
Hey.
What's up?
Our good friendly friends out there in the world.
Okay.
I mean, we know you're out there in every country listening.
Yeah.
And we love you for it.
Thank you.
We just don't hear from you enough. And so I'm going to ask you, please, joyfully and with joy, you know, if you could leave us a review or press a star or all the stars and or hit us up, Whole Nine Yards Pod. On many of the places.
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And then email.
Whole Nine Yards Podcast.
And that's the Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is
the Facebook. Say hi, and that's it. Thank you. Now, and back to you, Ray.
Thanks, Jay. My word is privy, and it also means toilet. And we're kind of in that category. You know, we don't have to define it, I guess. I mean, it's used as meaning toilet, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have a guess, but I'm afraid to guess because then it might blow up the ship.
I mean, it's kind of straightforward in a sense, but I learned something along the way, which is really a part of the journey.
All right, journey, yes.
Well, I mean, don't get excited about a journey now. straightforward, the OED says that this word is from 1225, from an old French privé. Meaning intimate, friendly, a private place.
Oh.
In the private place is really kind of what it implies, obviously. But it's even more private than I thought. I did not realize that...
We can only get so private.
Well,
are you talking about the room? Or are you talking about like a private place on your body?
I feel like, and I'm not saying every... I don't know. I personally use it, if I say this word, which I don't use it that much, but if I were, I would mean toilet. But it actually literally refers or is defined as an outhouse. It is a separate building where you go. It is a private place. Is that not shocking to you?
No.
Damn it. I found that... I did not know that. I learned
that. You were saying...
Yeah.
That... A bathroom within a house structure should not be called a privy.
Correct.
Because it is really not its own standalone private thing.
Yes, that is correct. That is what I learned, and that's what I believe to be true.
So a privy
yes.
is somewhere that I've got to go to.
Yep.
And you can't be there with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a private place. That's what it's an outhouse. It essentially, you know, it's a latrine in a sense. It can be, you know, my two words are similar in that sense. I mean, they will be, as we're doing potty stuff, but yeah. But I did not realize that it was its own shed or a room or whatever, a building, you know?
No.
Yeah. Defined as that, I guess. Yeah. I found a local Southwestern PA blogger. What was it called? Pondering the Privy, A History of Outhouses. Wow. I'll post the link in the description. But it was a fun read, just enjoying it. She said early rural Americans, this is just like a description of a standard kind of idea of a privy, which is just describing an outhouse, essentially. An open 3 to 6 foot pit, about 3 to 4 foot rectangle by 7 feet tall. And they actually had, which I did not realize, you had to make sure that the holes in the seat were not too big for kids. If you had a family, because you could know that's apparently, yes.
Oh, yep, man.
That happened.
Oh, it had to happen.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. But, privy is an outhouse. I really thought that was fascinating.
Well, that's another quick one.
It's straightforward. I mean, again, we've been using these latrines and things for millennia, I guess, technically.
Yeah, I guess you just never know where, you know, what rocks we're going to lift up that have, you know, something. Like your Sir John Harrington story.
Yeah. This one was like, yeah, no, it's a French word and it means this, and we use that.
There you go.
Yeah, but we've been building privies and using outhouses for millennia, really, you know, Vikings, all sorts of folk. Again, the latrines of the 4500 BC Romans, that's technically a privy. A room, you know, a private place or room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if it's cold out, I'm gonna want like some walls around me.
Man, that's what
if I'm taking off this bear
skin.
But
even still,
you know, whatever they're doing.
I'm not a camper.
No.
If anyone has that impression, so I don't enjoy that going outside with a jacket on to use the bathroom in the middle of the night with a flashlight. I don't recall enjoying those things when I did them as a kid. I have a fun fact.
Love them.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered about the symbols on the outhouses? Like the to designate who should go in which one or whatnot?
I don't know if I know what you mean. Like we have on restrooms that people do funny things and put...
Well, just the signs, but symbols. Have you seen the outhouses with like a moon or a star on it?
It's the Russian outhouse.
No. No, the crescent moon on the outhouse is for the Roman moon goddess Luna, indicating a lady's outhouse. And a circle or star was symbolic of the sun in the Greek male sun god Apollo. So the stars are the suns. That's all. Huh. That was my fun fact.
It's a fun fact. But when you open the door, they're both holes in the
ground.
Both
the holes. And you got to get both holes over... A giant pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What do you have?
Well, my next potty talk word is head. I've got to hit the head.
Yep. Sure.
So I think we say that sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's start here. You know, sailors and water people, marine type people, coast guardians.
Water people.
Yeah. They call it a head. But land-based military-type people call them latrines.
Okay.
So...
It's a military term.
I guess it's... Well, it started... head started as almost all of our language started is because we are sailors.
Love it.
So...
At heart.
Yeah.
It's nice. We're explorers.
Yeah, you say that.
Is that, yeah. What?
No, yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah.
I mean, what we were talking about earlier this week at some point about the new news. They found that cave painting in Indonesia, 65,000-year-old warty pig cave painting. So it threw off people's idea of, you know, when we came up out of South Africa up the East Coast, did we immediately split off to the West and up to Europe and then later go over to Indonesia? Or did we do it both at the same time? Hey, you go there, I'll go here,
yeah,
and I'll never see you again.
Just because good luck. I'm going to go establish a civilization over this way. Yeah. Right, I'll head over there. I doubt that's the conversation that happened.
So, explorers.
We are, yeah.
So, earliest example of head in this usage is 1712. This came up a lot. A cruising voyage round the world, a book by Woods Rogers.
Right.
And he begged to go into the head to ease himself. I gave you a little bit of something there.
Nice. That's nice.
This one is straightforward, but it has a little bit of a oddness to it. So we've covered the ship stuff a lot, and man, we've covered more ship stuff
than I imagined. Yeah,
and more to come. But the
for sure,
the toilets. Let's just say, you know, they, whatever they were, they were like open air latrines. Were at the front of the boat, the head of the boat. Okay.
Okay.
And they're basically like seats with holes cut in them.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
And your waist would go down and fall out onto the front of the ship.
Oh.
And so they designed it this way for a couple of reasons. One is water splashes up on the front of the ship. And well, basically anything that's like smattered down there, sorry,
just got smeared. Anything got smeared across the front of the ship. I mean, whatever it might be.
Yeah, it was washed away mostly by the ocean. Now, in some smaller vessels and different vessels and different ways, it was done. So, in some ways, and sometimes it was literally your buttocks were out the front of the ship, so you might get splashed yourself.
Sure,
and that was invigorating. Yeah, I'm sure.
That'd feel refreshing.
Yeah.
Clean you up a little.
So, yeah, it had like a built-in bidet of seawater.
That's not what I was picturing. Okay.
I mean, that's what it is, right?
I didn't realize it just like was a hole. I thought it was a hole to the ocean, not just to the front of the ship.
No, you know, sort of out the front of the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it can't go to the ocean because then you'd have a hole in the boat.
You'd have a hole in the ship, you know, like, I realize.
Now it's only good if you're in a Dean Martin song. The rest of it, you got a problem. So
yeah,
this, you're going to enjoy this.
All right.
All right.
I'm having a good time so far.
Well, it has that word you like.
Poop.
So here's the damnedest thing.
All right.
Because there's irony in these terms, all right?
Okay.
So the head is in the front of the ship, and is designed this way for a reason. I'm never on a big upper deck of a sailing ship, so it's all gray to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think in terms of like, well, wind will be blowing at me because I'm going. But, you know, they're navigating so that the wind is coming and hitting their sails to push them forward. So the wind's kind of coming from, you know, as we behind them you know, side of them. And so
sailing by the wind.
So for this reason, we put the unpleasantness in the front. So it gets washed away best it can. Mm. And B, any vapors.
Odors. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And so in the back of the ship, elevated on, yes, the poop deck.
Come on.
Yeah. You've heard of the poop deck, but the poop deck is not where the head is. The poop deck is in the back, elevated up like off of the stern deck.
Okay.
And And that's where from where the ship is steered, where the wheel is, where the captain is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's elevated up, and I guess technically there's another like thing called a quarter deck down in front of the poop deck. So they're sort of staged up. So, but the captain's up on the poop deck. I think often with a little, it's got a roof over it, right? He's in a little thing.
Poop roof.
But he could see up over. So he's, yeah, his nose is out of the way of unpleasantness, and he can see up over. So while it's a poop deck, that comes from a French word, la poop. But LAPOUPE.
That's how I say it. Poop.
I took your thing. Yes. Yeah. La poop.
La poop.
So that's that's the poop deck, but it really has nothing to do with the head. You know, no. It's just ironic.
Yeah, that it's called poop.
Yeah. I mean, it's really poop. Troublesome that they went ahead and...
I mean, especially when you're just pooping on the front of the ship. Like, you'd think there'd be a place for that.
Oh, there is.
Right. I mean, there is, right? You think that would be the place, I guess, for that.
So we have a nice little quote to end with. There is, this is from the OED. Man, we need a whole thing of OEDs.
Mm-hmm.
I should be like those car talk guys that would be like, right on the back of a $20 bill. So, yeah. So write us a note on a vintage OED and a new OED. Anyway, 19th century Charles Montgomery's memoir about being on a ship here and this little trip he took. The floor was a slippery paste of oil, spit, crushed insects, and a disturbing slurry that seeped from the ship's head. Disturbing slurry.
My.
Yeah.
That is a visual.
Yeah, he's a picture painter, yeah, at Charles Montgomery. So that's head.
That is a visual.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know where the insects came from.
Like, I mean, they're sure that's what they do. That's their job to break that stuff down.
Oh, right.
They're just doing their job.
Just doing my job.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm here because of you. What? I don't want to. Yeah. Oh, man. Sweet.
So what have you?
That's it.
Oh, we're done, huh?
We did it.
Holy macaroni.
I think, yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, that's great. I have to use the Sir John Harrington. So it's good.
Yes.
Please remember what we said earlier and hit us up or say hi. And everything's good otherwise.
Yeah.
I think everything's going to be wonderful.
Always.
Oh, yeah. And hey, you know, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@wholenineyards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.